household, number 38, Psalms 23, and this is from Science and Health 578, which includes Mary Baker Eddy's translation, which replaces some of the existing words of the original with the word love or divine love. Divine love is my shepherd. I shall not want. Love maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Love leadeth me beside the still waters. Love restoreth my soul, spiritual sense. Love leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for love is with me. Love's rod and love's staff, they comfort me. Love prepareth a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Love anointeth my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house, the consciousness of love, forever. The first sentence is, divine love is my shepherd, I shall not want. I believe this refers to the fact that if we let divine love be our guide, be the atmosphere around which everything we do, it is like the oil of gladness, the joy that comes from being loving and expressing love to everyone under all circumstances. And if we do that, since love represents wholeness and completeness, there cannot be anything lacking. It says, I shall not want. There can't be anything lacking if we are expressing wholeness and completeness, because that is the opposite of something lacking. Wholeness and completeness does not go with, with any kind of lack or absence of good. So we are what we express. If we express completeness and wholeness, then we will be that ourselves. What we be is what we see. What we be is what we express. Our motive, which is a part of truth, that is the core of consciousness, and all thought, speech, and action would be expressing the motive. If the motive is love, then the expression is love, and there cannot be anything absent from the wholeness. Otherwise, it would not be wholeness. Mind is the only intelligence, wisdom, and knowing. Mind is the only power. And that power enables action. Therefore, mind is the only action. The plan and design is a function of love. And therefore, there is nothing that mind can do that is not a function of love, for mind is all-knowing. So mind knows the plan and design, knows that the plan and design is love. That must be the atmosphere. It is like a lubricant that makes everything work perfectly, harmoniously, smoothly, harmoniously without any kind of friction whatsoever. The next sentence is, love maketh me to lie down in green pastures. In other words, love is the atmosphere so that everything is prosperous. Green pastures represents life, represents activity, represents a forward movement, growth, as opposed to decline, lively, as opposed to being passive and sedated. If we express love, we have no choice. That comes with love. Completeness includes the growth, the continuous move forward. The next one is, love leadeth me beside the still waters. So there's no chaos. There's no up and down, which is the trait of the dance of, quote, mortal mind. So that's so-called mortal mind because there is no real mortal mind, because mind is immortal. There's only one mind, and that's the one real mind of God. So there cannot be any chaos. There cannot be any waste. It is calm strength, always progressing, always moving forward, always distributing the love, reflecting the love. The next one, love restoreth my soul, spiritual sense. Mary Baker Eddy added the word spiritual, the phrase spiritual sense after soul, to remind us that that's exactly what soul is. Spirit is the only substance, so any sense has to be spiritual sense. So no matter where whether we're talking about seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, smelling, any sense that one might have a concept that exists has to be a spiritual sense, because love is the one responsible. Love restoreth. In other words, from the very beginning, from the only existence there's ever been, there's never any beginning, but any existence that there ever was, because truth is always true. It didn't have a beginning. It didn't have a birth. But this is restoring. So, for example, if the belief is that we are born materially, then right after birth, we have all kinds of trouble, because we are exposed to lie upon lie of material sense. So love restores our sense to the real sense. It restores our atmosphere to the real atmosphere of love. It restores our existence to the real existence, which never was born, never dies, never deteriorates, but is always a constant reflection of the infinite, complete wholeness of love. And love restores itself to us, restores our senses, restores our identity. That's what soul is really, our identity. Spiritual sense enables us to see our real identity. So love restores our spiritual sense. It restores our real identity. It reveals that our identity never left us. It was like Genesis 2. Genesis 1 is telling us what existence really is and always has been. And Genesis 2 tries to tell us that there went up a mist which blinded us to our identity. It blinded us to the truth about God and man and the relationship between God and man. God being the source, man being the manifestation of and the reflection of the one and only source, which is mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Soul, which is spiritual sense, enables the recognition of the true identity. Love enables the receptivity to our true identity. I believe that's why it says, love restoreth my soul, spiritual sense. In other words, love is receptive. That's the receptivity of truth. And the truth is that our identity is the identity of our relationship with God, meaning we are the reflection of God. Genesis 1 says, let us be made in God's image and likeness, God's image and after his likeness. Let us. So we have to be involved. We cannot be passive. We have to be active. Like praying ceaselessly. It's a continuous consciousness of the necessity of being at one with God, recognizing God as the Word, in other words, the truth, the source of all. The next sentence is, love leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So in other words, the right doing, the right action is all for the glory of God. It's to glorify God. It's to give recognition to the fact that God is all. God is only good because God is omni-intelligence, wisdom, and knowing. So certainly those qualities would not be receptive to relating at all to anything unlike perfection. If it is the substance of spirit, it has to be perfect, for spirit is all pureness. And because of all pureness, spirit is all transparency, and therefore reflection. So pureness means it has to be without any error, without any flaw. So it's totally transparent because there's nothing that can block or interfere with pureness, because pureness has no defect, no blemish. It is like truth. It is without error because truth is true. That has nothing to do with a theory that there is an error or a mistake. They cannot exist in reality, or reality wouldn't be real. It would be a mixture of real and unreal. And a mixture of real and unreal is not reality. Reality is pureness, without flaw, without blemish, without any error or mistake. It is truth. Truth is true, without any variance. And everything that is good that we do and embody, as Mary Baker Eddy says, the only power obtainable is from the good we do and embody. And the whole purpose of that is reflecting it for the glory of God. Not for personality, but for the glory of God. The next sentence, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for love is with me. So it doesn't matter what the challenge is. It can be the ultimate challenge, which is death, which is really, like it says here, a shadow of death. It's not real because death is not real. Sickness, sin, disease, nothing of that nature is real. Only God is real. So anything unlike God, which these things certainly are, they cannot be real. They are a mirage. They are an exhibit of what is lie upon lie. The lie and the liar are the same, because neither one has any reality. Neither one has any source. Neither one has any principle. Therefore cannot have any law, cannot have any rule, cannot have any existence. And why not? Because love is with me. I will fear nothing because love is the only and the all. Love is one, only, and all. There is nothing besides love. Love is all there is, because love is wholeness, completeness. There's nothing absent from love. Love includes perfect mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, and truth. There couldn't be wholeness unless it included all of those qualities. Just as mind could not be omni-intelligent if it excluded the wholeness of love, the plan and design of love, the perfection of love. And spirit couldn't be whole unless it included love. All of these qualities interact with each other to be wholeness itself. To be wholeness, completeness, is the reflection of all of them interacting. It says love's the next phrase here. Love, rod, and love's staff, they comfort me. So love's rod means the discipline, and love's staff means the support. So the discipline of not wavering from love means that love with the discipline, the staff, the support with the discipline, that's the completeness. Mary Baker Eddy says that she makes strong demands on love. That means that we must be disciplined by the wholeness and the completeness of love. In other words, we must be following the dictates of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, and truth. We must be expressing, reflecting the intelligence, the wisdom, and the knowing of mind. We must be active, because again, mind is all action because it's all power. And no matter where we are, we need to be doing this. So because these qualities are omnipresent. Mind is omnipresent. So no matter where we are or what circumstance we might need to be in or we might be experiencing, we must be expressing love. We must be expressing the intelligence, the wisdom, and the knowing of mind, the action of mind, which means that we have the concept, the recognition, the acceptance, and living the life of power. Because power is the source of action. We must be only giving credence to the one and real substance, which is spirit. We can't be giving credence to a so-called matter. A belief of matter is a belief of nothingness, a belief of a lie. We cannot give any credence to a belief of a lie. Soul is, as noted before, spiritual sense. So it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, or smelling. We have to be viewing it through the lens of spirit, because that's the only truth there is. It's the lens of spirit, seeing the substance of spirit. No matter what's involved, spirit is the only substance. Everything else is a lie. Everything else is a misunderstanding, a mistake. And in reality, we can only see truth for what it is, and it is without any error. We can only see pureness without any flaw or defect. Because that's what it is. It's totally transparent. There's nothing opaque in it. There's nothing that can block it. There are no atoms. There are no blockage at all. Same with principle. With the spiritual sense, then we can see and identify with the real principle, divine principle, where everything is harmonious. There is no chaos. There's no discord, but principle that is ever operative. And we reflect that principle. In everything we do, there's a principle. And we see that principle, which is truth, and that's what we follow. Life is the activity of all the qualities. Ever active. Mind is ever active. Principle is ever active. Love is ever active. As is spirit, soul, truth, and love. Ever active. No passiveness. No acceptance of laziness, always being on our guard, that we are accepting only the truth. That's love's rod and love's staff. That's why they comfort. Because the discipline of love and the kindness and tenderness, the lubricant of love, is what gives completeness. Divine science is the comforter. It says they comfort me. Well, divine science is the comforter. Mary Baker Eddy gave us the textbook, which tells us exactly what divine science is all about. The next phrase, love prepareth a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Well, who are our enemies? Mary Baker Eddy gave us a complete article on love your enemies. And then she says within the article, who are thine enemies except thine own belief that there is an enemy? But love restoreth my soul, spiritual sense. So we can only identify with truth. We can't identify with error. An enemy would mean that error had power over myself or someone else. I can be my own enemy if I let myself accept a lie about myself. I can think that I have someone else as an enemy if I accept the lie that they are not also the image and likeness of God. I must accept that everyone is in image and likeness of God. The real man is perfect because the real man is a reflection of God. There is no other existence except for the all existence of the perfect one God, which means perfect mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. That is what all existence is. And there is nothing else. There's no sinning mortal man in that one and only existence. Love prepares the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I believe that probably means that God gives us the identity so we can see that there is no enemy. God gives us a table, a feast of life, truth, and love, and mind, spirit, and soul, and principle. We have everything because love is present. Love prepareth the table. Love prepareth the place to put all of these qualities in our consciousness. Therefore, we cannot even conceive of someone else being less than perfect. And that includes ourselves. We cannot conceive of ourselves being less than perfect. And we can only be perfect if we see everyone else as perfect. There is no imperfection in perfection. Perfection is perfect. Imperfection is non-existent. Love anointeth my head with oil. My cup runneth over. The oil of gladness, joy, the lubricant of love that removes all concept of there being an incompleteness or that there being a Genesis 2, a creation of blindness. Refer to a heavy fog where you can't see anything in front of you. That is a mirage. The truth is that the truth is always there, can't be hidden. Prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That's what love has done. Love, being wholeness and completeness, means that everything that is expected to be needed, because everything is already here, so expecting there to be a need or thinking that there is a need at the present means that we don't realize that the supply and the need are always in balance. A need cannot be conceived of unless there is a concept that there is a supply. Otherwise, how would you define the need? The supply has to be in existence. Otherwise, there would be no way to define the need. And if you can define the need, that means the supply is already there. Love anointeth my head with oil, so it gets the difference out of the way. The shortage, the belief that there is not an alignment of the supply and the need. And the final sentence, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house, the consciousness of love forever. So Mary Baker Eddy defines house as consciousness, and it is ever present. In other words, forever. In other words, it gets rid of the concept of time, the limitation of time. It says forever. So where is time when you're talking about the infinite? There is no time. There is no space. There is no plane. Everything is complete. Everything is already in the realm of spirit. There's no so-called material frame of reference. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So in other words, our entire existence is filled with goodness and mercy. Goodness, I believe, could be referred to the substance of spirit, and mercy is the wholeness of love. I will dwell in the house, the consciousness. I think it means we're already there. I am dwelling in the house, the consciousness of love. That's the only consciousness there can be. There cannot be a consciousness of something less than complete. Remembering that mind is omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, and omni-knowing. meaning the one only in all. So there is no competition for the intelligence and the wisdom and the knowing of mind. What is going to compete? Mind is the only power. There's nothing else that has power to even make an appearance. All action requires power. An appearance requires power because an appearance is an action. Even though it's a continuous, ongoing action, it is an action. It's not a come here and then disappear. It's a continuous appearance of truth, continuous appearance of all of God's qualities, the ever-presence of God's qualities. That's what is ever-present, God's qualities. And that's what we reflect. That's why we will dwell in the house of consciousness, of love, the consciousness of love forever, because we have become aware of the truth of being, the truth of our own being, the truth of all existence, the truth of the being of everything and everyone, because there is only one. And it's the reflection of the one infinite, divine, incorporeal, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. God is all in all. There is nothing that can interfere with the power of love, the power of God, the power of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, and truth, as well as love. Those qualities are all permanent, and man reflects those qualities without any variance. Man is whole. God is the source, and man is the reflection. Amen.